In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I just want to tell you a couple of miracles that happened at Holy Rosary. Just very simple. One lady came several weeks ago with mercury poisoning from her fillings. And it had gone through her whole body. The blood test said she had mercury poisoning. And she came back on Saturday and said they took another blood test and it's completely gone. No mercury poisoning. So that's one thing, by the grace of God. By the grace of the living God. Then there was another lady who came who had a tumor on her breast. And she had a CAT scan and there was a tumor. And they thought it was cancer. And the only thing different she did was come to the Holy Rosary and we prayed with her. And when they had the next CAT scan, the tumor was absolutely gone. But this is the issue, you know. The doctor said, "What did you do?" She said, "Well, we prayed." And he says, "Well, I don't believe that. I'm a scientist." She said, "You can see the two x-rays. One x-ray shows you that I have the tumor, and the next x-ray shows that the tumor is gone. And the only thing we did differently was pray." And I went to Holy Rosary and we prayed. The priest prayed over my hand and it's gone. So these are the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks that Jesus has done. But you know what? One of the things Jesus wants to do is close Planned Parenthood. In 2012, 333,969 children were aborted. I'm going to say that again. 333,964 children, or 69 children, were aborted from Planned Parenthood. Only Planned Parenthood. So that's almost a half a million children that Planned Parenthood destroyed. The only good thing about Planned Parenthood is when it closes. That's the only good thing about Planned Parenthood. When people come to the conclusion that this place is a child-killing place. This is real. And you know, we don't hear these things from the sanctuary. Who talks about it? Who talks about it? You know, it's a holocaust that's happening, and no one talks about it. Very few people talk about it. If you're one of the few, congratulations. As Father Joshi said, a lot of people don't come to see you at Holy Rosary because you talk about abortion. Well, yeah, isn't that sad? They're probably post-abortive, and they don't want to deal with it. I always say that those who have had abortions, there's great healing. There's great healing. Jesus wants to heal them. I never just talk about abortions. I talk about the post-abortive woman who can be healed as she reconciles with the reality that she destroyed her child. And you know what? People don't want to hear that. And that's too bad, because I'm going to keep on saying it because it's the truth. 333,969 abortions at Planned Parenthood throughout the United States. That's astronomical. We're not even talking about the ones that do happen in the hospital, even in children's hospital. Very, very, very sick. And you know what's even sicker? No one or very few people deal with it. Eleanor McCullen is with me today. Why do you think that people are afraid to deal with this reality? Why do you think that priests and ministers are afraid to deal with this reality?
Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning, Father. That's a very good question. I was going to come first of all and say thank God that you speak out, because this abortion evil is epidemic. And it's like having an elephant in the living room and everybody skirts the issue, but you don't. You address it, and you address it from the viewpoint of there's help available, God has a plan for your child, and you address it from the viewpoint, yes, you may have had an abortion or two, but Jesus will heal you, the mercy will fall upon you. So you address it from both angles. I'm not quite sure what it is, Father. Everybody wants to be, as you would say, nice, like you're fine, I'm fine, we're all fine. But the problem is we're not all fine. And not only in the abortion problem, but we're not all fine. And especially somebody has to come out and say it, not pushing your face into it, but encouraging people to get help if they are pregnant, and then also to seek mercy if they've had the abortion. I guess it's the priests want to speak about good things, and everybody, as I say, is doing well. We're all doing well. And you know what? I hate to say this, Father, but I think if you're telling everybody, everybody's well, everybody's fine, there's no sin, then the collection basket comes around and everybody feels good. They might feel good for an hour or maybe later, but people like to be challenged. People like to know what's wrong in the world. But getting back to the collection basket, I hate to say this, but I think when you're feeling good, you say, well, I think I'll put 20 in today. But if you've been told about abortion and you remember, well, maybe your daughter had an abortion or maybe you took somebody to have an abortion, all of a sudden you have guilt. But guilt is good because guilt brings you back to Jesus. And that is important now because we're all on the train for Jesus. We're passing through this life. It's only temporary and our main purpose is salvation. So we spend eternity with our God, and eternity is a very long time. So when you bring up these subjects, you're trying to have everybody get on the right train, the Jesus train. But people say, just like St. Augustine said, you know, Lord, make me chase. But how about starting tomorrow? We all want to start tomorrow. But what you do, you encourage us, today's the day. We have to be ready today. We have to do something today. We have to change today. And that's what you do, Father. And I know it's hard. You'd like to be telling everybody we're all fine, but you are the shepherd. And shepherds have an awesome responsibility. The responsibility is to tell the people that they are good because they're made in the image of God, but sin abounds. Sin is happening, and we must be told about that, and we must be challenged to make a change in our life. So I'm guessing that it has to do with the collection, but I hate to think of that either, because that doesn't make sense. So it's either the priest wants to be well-liked, like everybody feels good, and maybe it has something to do with the collection. I'm not sure about that.
You see, to speak out means that you are just telling the truth to people. Like, I'm not there saying you're all going to hell. I don't say that. I say Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And if you've had an abortion, see, the reason why it's not spoken in the sanctuary is because the priest and the minister is saying, maybe somebody out there had an abortion. There's no such thing as maybe. Exactly. Somebody out there has had an abortion, and you've got to tell the person that there's healing for them, that the Lord Jesus wants to heal them, that he wants to give them the mercy that they don't feel like they have. You know, anyone who has an abortion knows that they have killed their child. You know, they walk into the abortion mill saying, this is going to be very easy, I'm just going to have it fixed and it's going to be all right. They walk out of the abortion mill looking very sad because the devil just said, you killed your child. This is real. This is real. I'm talking to people that are pregnant. I'm telling you, no one regrets having the child. Even though it's a difficult thing to do, no one ever regrets having the child. But there are so many regrets in not having the child, and having the child destroyed. There are so many regrets. Now, guilt, there's two types of guilt. There's the guilt that gives us the ability to repent. And then there's the guilt that is tormenting. God does not torment. The devil is the tormentor. Jesus Christ wants us to feel guilt only to the point that we confess our sin and we leave it at the cross. Whatever the sin is, that's why the sacrament of confession is so important, that we confess our sin and we leave it at the cross. It's as simple as that. And yet people are afraid to deal with this issue. I'm going to tell you, there's another issue that's starting to bloom. It's the culture of death, and people are offing themselves. Offing themselves means they're killing themselves. There's so much suicide going on. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's why we've got to give people hope. We've got to tell them that Jesus Christ has this hand out to them. Jesus Christ loves them, that they don't need to off themselves. That's the new saying, off yourself. You know, it's like I've never heard of so many cases of people killing themselves. You know, there's no need to kill yourself if you've got a church that talks about Jesus loving you, loving you. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 43. Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, that formed you, O Israel, fear not, don't be afraid. 365 times in the Bible it says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have bought you back with my blood. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. There is no need of anyone killing themselves, because you have been called by name. And I know to be in that dark black hole, how awful it is. But I'm telling you, in the midst of the darkness, Jesus is there. Jesus, I don't feel him. I'm telling you, he's there. And he wants to pull you out. And he wants to give you a glimmer of hope today that he loves you and he calls you by name. And I'm going to tell you, he calls each of these aborted children by name. But you know what? They are not named. I'll tell you the story about heaven is real. The little boy went to heaven. He was sick. And the mother and father were there praying, and how is, you know, he's dying and all this is happening. And he met his little sister. He said to his mother when he came back, I have a sister. She said, no, yes, you do. You have a sister, and she's doing homework. No, I have another sister, and this sister died in your tummy. And then he said this, she doesn't have a name because you never named her. You never named her. And you have to name her so she'll have a name. Now, this little boy was 6 years old. What does he know about anything? But he was in the presence of God and in the presence of his little sister, that these children that are aborted, oh, I believe they go to God. But you know what? We've got to give them names. We've got to give them names. They are precious in the sight of God. Not only are you precious in the sight of God, but they are precious in the sight of God, and that the Lord has redeemed you.
Hallelujah. Father, what I would like to do this morning is encourage everyone. You mentioned about things aren't talked about at church, but also I'm calling on ministers and rabbis and people that are listening to go, that go to evangelical churches or go to temple. Maybe you've spoken to the priest or the minister and you've said, could we talk about the evil of abortion? And maybe they weren't receptive, but I think things are changing, Father. I said it before. I feel like we're turning a corner. In a minute, we'll talk about Texas and what's happening, but it's still not too late. Like you might say, well, I've already asked the priest to put this in the prayers of the faithful on Sunday morning. And he said no 5 times. But things are happening, Father. Things are changing. So as I said before, we cannot give up. So go back to the priest and say, could we add that? A deeper respect for life, from the moment of conception to natural death. Let us pray to the Lord. Or we could say, for our brothers and sisters in the womb, that they will be spared from abortion. We pray to the Lord. I've noticed people are wondering why we're not saying it. Things are happening, Father. So go to your minister. Go, if you're Jewish, go and speak to the rabbi. We need everybody now. We need everybody as things are changing. Lights are going on around the country. People are understanding now, I believe, that how evil abortion is and what's happening. So build on what you started a few years ago. Don't give up. Go back and encourage them to speak out. And in that vein, Father, I would also mention this. Like yesterday, the gospel was the man had all this wheat. He had a bountiful, and he said, what shall I do? So he decided to eat, drink, and be merry after he built another, whatever he built, and he put the wheat in that. And what I'm going to mention in reference to that is another way people can get involved. I agree the man had enough wheat, but he had an overflow. And when we have an overflow, I believe that we're asked to give it away. And so here's another thing that we can do. As you know, Father, many mothers change their mind by the grace of God, and they feel alone. Maybe the boyfriend left. Maybe the father said, don't move back here. So we can always say, that's wonderful. They're going to have the baby. But we need help. We need help. We need to know if there's an apartment where a mother could move, a low-income apartment. Maybe you could help with that. When they move to the apartment, they need somebody with a truck to help them move their items. They need to be invited over for a dinner. Just because they're alone and they're going to have the baby, I could have a group of people that reach out and say, can you come for dinner on Sunday afternoon? So if you have a bountiful, then I'm asking that you give it out either in baby clothes or in baby showers or in any kind of area to help the mother after she's decided to keep the baby and then after the baby's born. There is much generosity needed in that area.
Tell us about what's happening in Texas.
I'll be happy to, Father, and I feel this is where we're things are happening. Now, in Texas, I'm sure everybody knows that the law went through by a governor there. I think it's Rick Perry. Mm-hmm. And he was persevering. And his bill or his law that finally went through is that in Texas, there will be no abortion. And I'm going to say the words now. There will be no taking of a baby boy or baby girl from the womb. There will be no killing of a baby boy or baby girl in the womb. That is actually what abortion is. I've said it before. We say it so quickly, like we're going to buy milk in the supermarket. But when you actually take a few extra minutes and say, what is happening with our brothers and sisters in the womb? So he fought for this law, no abortion after 20 weeks. Now, that's the baby at that point, the embryo, the fetus is still quite sizable, and that's still not good, 20 weeks. But it's a step in the right direction because before it would be 24 weeks. So he's coming down to 20, and the prayer is that we'll come down to 18, 17, 15, 14, 10, and then no abortion. So it's a beautiful step in the right direction, no abortion after 20 weeks. Now, here was a man that persevered because if you recall a few weeks ago, there was a filibuster by one of the people that was against this law. They want abortion up until the birth of the baby. And they filibustered, and it looked like it was dead. Sometimes things, Father, look like they're dead, like, oh, we lost this one. But we're not losing, Father. But the Lord's calling us to trust him and to have faith and to have prayer, but also prayer with action. We have to have prayer with action. So he fought it, and I don't know how it all happened again. He put it through again, and there was no filibuster, and it's a law in Texas. Other states, Father, are getting on the bandwagon. If we could get the states across the country to go with no abortion after 20 weeks, that would be a miracle. So there's a lot of things to pray for. If only you have prayer, your prayers that people that are listening are powerful. So one of the things we're going to pray for is that that law stays in effect in Texas and other states. I forget which ones. They're all making some strides. And the prayer is, thank you, Jesus. We trust you. We will pray. And in cases where you can act, then I'm calling for action also. But this is huge. Believe it or not, 20 weeks, that would be huge, especially if it keeps going down.
Now, Eleanor and friends are out in front of the abortion mill every Tuesday and Wednesday. I want you to tell the people what it looks like, roses and all.
Okay, Father. Yes, it's rather powerful, even though we're standing, as you say, on the gates of hell. The Lord gives us a joy. It's hard to explain it. Many times I've said, you have to come and experience it. It's a joy, even though we know what's going on inside, which makes our hearts heavy. And yes, we have Frank that brings 3 dozen fresh, real roses every Wednesday. And we end up sometimes in the morning, we feel, how are we ever going to give 3 dozen roses out? But we do. To passersby, we're preaching love. We're preaching, this is compassion in action. So we're smiling, and we're not only giving roses to people that are going in to Planned Parenthood, but people that are just going by on the street. And then we have Eleanor and Jane and Sheila making beautiful baby hats. Also, we have Susan. I don't want to leave out Susan. She makes beautiful hats also. So in the hat, we have the brochure, my telephone number, and where we can all go and get help at Pregnancy Help in Brighton or A Woman's Concern in Revere. So we have hats, we have roses. It's just colorful because we're there in the name of Jesus. So he gives us a joy, but our hearts are still heavy. One thing that happened a couple of weeks ago, Father, was that really hot week. If you remember, everybody remembers, it was so humid. And, you know, I have moments of thinking, oh, I'm so hot. So I'm standing under a tree, kind of feeling sorry for myself. And it's so hot. I thought, oh, anyway, I'm holding my sign. I thought, well, I'll hold my sign. If you remember, it's a large sign. And it says, we offer hope, help, and love. So now I'm just under the tree and it's very hot. But guess what? The Lord, as soon as I start to like complain a little, he seems to rescue me. He feels sorry for me, I guess. But so I'm just standing there and a couple came over. Actually, it was a mother and a daughter. And she looked at my sign and I didn't do anything, Father. She said, we need help. So there again, like you say, you stand there and you're just a witness for the truth and the Lord will rescue you and he will give you words or he'll give you the prayers to say, but you have to come and experience what goes on. We have singing. We sing on Commonwealth Avenue. We have a nice group that come out on Wednesdays and people stop. People sometimes are going by and we say, we're going to say a prayer now. Would you like to join us? And amazingly, 9 out of 10 times, the person says, yes. And they'll come and they'll say they're out of work. And we say, well, we'll pray for you. So we're filled with joy. And the Lord gives us what is that expression, Father? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So back to this, it was a mother and a daughter. They needed help. So now I'm enthused and somehow I didn't feel hot anymore. I seemed to get over it. And of course I said we would help and we could help. The girl was very young. She was still in high school. And so we went over to Pregnancy Help. We had lunch there. They had the ultrasound done by this 5D ultrasound machine at St. Elizabeth's. They had a very good picture of the baby. I think she was about 10 weeks. There was crying in the room. And there again, I always say, Father, I wish you could come and see. It kind of comes full circle for me to see the ultrasound. They decided they keep the baby. And the Archdiocese of Boston will help them quite a bit, actually. There's a school where she can go and she will have her baby. They encourage teenagers. We talked about adoption. Adoption's beautiful. I have a wonderful couple right now, a loving couple that are ready to adopt. But this particular mother and daughter said, thank you. They were smiles. The mother said, I will help her. And the Archdiocese of Boston is going to help with the high school and several other areas. So there's a case, Father. If you come, if you're available, if you say to Jesus, I'm available, but I'm tired, I'm weary, he says, that's okay. I'll pick you up and take you. But he always wants us to say, we're available. We love you. Show us the way.
You know, if people weren't there, they would go in. They would go in. Only God knows how many pass by that are going in and see the people and they don't go in. We don't know that, but I know that happens. And we're not there to torment people. We're there to tell people there's hope, help, and love. You know, that's what we're there for. We're there to tell people that they don't have to do this because there's hope, help, and love, and that God calls that child by name. So I'm going to ask you once more to go to 1055 Commonwealth Avenue in Brighton. 1055 Commonwealth Avenue in Brighton on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and just go and watch. Go and pray. That's all I want you to do, to go a couple of times. And again, I thank God for the people that are making baby hats, the people that are making blankets. I thank God for that. See, because when you give a woman a baby hat going into the abortion mill, it tells you that's a baby. That's a baby. It's not the product of conception. That's a baby. So, Lord Jesus Christ, save children today. Save mothers and fathers today. And rescue them from the pit of destruction through the blood that you shed on the cross. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.